So we pray, Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning to help our unbelief. In other words, Lord, in this hour of science wherein you have proven your word to us, which is infallible, may we have the revelation which gives us that perfect passive faith. And then because of that being inspired, Lord, by reality, may we go on from cold, lukewarm, strictly to the hot way that you have for us, where we realize that this is our life and there is nothing else beside it. And we should believe it, not only believe it, but walk in it. For you've said, even through Paul, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. And John also saying the same thing, that we might also have fellowship with you under the blood as we walk in this light, knowing that the blood does not avail without the light, Lord. May the full light of God shine upon us this morning, cleansing all the areas of sin and darkness, illuminating every part of darkness in our lives, as such to be, setting us free, even as you said, when the sun sets free, is free indeed. Walking in this light, Lord, certainly covered by the blood, rejoicing and going on in this special day of grace. Help each one of us, Lord, to recognize that. And in recognition be as that son of the king that Brother Branham talked about, the slave, even though he was a slave, living in slave quarters under the bondage of the world and desperate. As far as many things in his life concerned, he knew that he was the king's son and bore himself as such. May we also, in this hour of manifestation, this hour of adoption, do likewise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we went into what I call a byway or a highway from the seat of discrepancy. And especially we dealt with the two vines, which Brother Branham placed equal importance or even more importance upon the two vines than he did upon the principle of the Alpha and Omega principle, wherein you realize that Genesis was the seed book and Revelation was the harvest book or the full manifestation of the seed. Now, the point is, you must understand, first of all, that there are two vines or there are two separate seeds sown in the book of Matthew in chapter 13, wherein the parable was given that a sower, a farmer, had his men sow good seed in the field, and at night an enemy came by and sowed tares. And the laborers came in alarmed, and they said, "Now, did you not sow good seed?" He said, "Yes, I certainly did sow good seed." Well, he said, "The field is now invaded by a bunch of tares, and if you sowed good seed, how in the world did the tares get there?" Now, what you're looking at, of course, is virgin territory. And the virgin territory signified that there was nothing sown at all until the point that the seed sown was the seed of God, and then this man, the owner, said, "Well, an enemy has done this." And we know that Satan is the enemy of God. That's strict understanding from the Scripture. And he is also counted as our enemy. So we find then the two seeds growing up. Now, the two seeds growing up is the picture that Brother Branham painted as the most important revelation from the Word of God. Twins, two vines. And I extended that further by using left hand and right hand, blessing and cursing, because it refers to the very subject that Brother Branham brought to our attention. So we look at the two vines, and we must recognize that they are there. And when you understand two vines, you find two separate sowings by two separate individuals bringing forth two separate seeds that are absent. One is desperate to the other. That's disparate, which is entirely different. And, of course, the desperate one is the poor seed of God worrying about getting clubbed and destroyed by the seed of the enemy. But we call it disparate, meaning different and distinctly different. But as you look at them, it is well known that the tares look a lot like wheat. In fact, you can even find wild oats, and that to me is a better picture than ever. And the wild oats looks exactly like the tame oats. When the harvest comes, there just isn't any harvest there. And if you look at it and say, well, we could use wild oats and leave it as it is, and we could cut it for the stock, the livestock, it'd make good eating. But it's not even nutritious. It's simply a weed, and it looks like it's got the characteristics of oat, which is a cereal, which would be nutritious. And by the way, many years ago, some agronomist, I think it was actually an agriculture college in Scotland, made a test on pregnant cows, and they fed some cows entirely wheat, some cows entirely oats, and some cows entirely corn, and maybe something else. And the cows that brought forth their calves and were healthy were fed on corn. And you hear an awful lot about corn in the Bible, though they do tell us that's supposed to be wheat. I ain't going to argue the point. But the point is, nutritionally, they found that the corn was the best, and next to it came the oats. And I think some of the calves died from it, but not too many. And the rest that were fed other things like wheat, which is purely a hybrid, the calves died. It was not. So what I'm trying to show you here is that you can look at this wild oats, you can look at this wild wheat, you can look at the tare, and you absolutely could come to the conclusion by an observation that this one here is identical to the other, and you cannot then break down the human race into two literal fathers and one literal mother. But science has proven it so. So Brother Branham said science would prove this scripture. Now, the scripture he dealt on were the twin scriptures, the two vine scriptures. And always he came up with Abel and Cain. Now, first of all, there was a seed sown by God in the field. And the good field, of course, Paul says we are the agronomy, or we are the field of God. We're the agriculture. And we know also that our bodies came out of the dust. And every single thing that our body needs is contained in the dust. In other words, all the nourishment is there. So they don't realize that there is a hybrid grain, there is a tare, which is a literal people. Now, we've stressed that, but you must understand from last night, we hit higher lights than we ever hit before to give you this understanding. There is absolutely, in this world, in humankind, two absolute seeds, and it's so intermingled. In other words, the life that's in there to the child of God and to the child of the devil, and it positively lies within our human bodies, carried by both male and female. And nobody knows what that child is going to be, whether it's going to be a serpent seed or it's going to be one of the Adamic children which came from God. And you understand that in the beginning, the Son formed from God Himself, being the Son of God. And He said, "This day have I begotten thee," or "In this day have I started my generations in thee." And remember, we were in Christ. So now, Christ, which were the Son, we're using the term Son there now, which in Christ is significant of His existence on earth, but this one pre-existent. Every one of us were in Him, and every one that was in Him came from God. Now, together God said, "Let us make man in our own image." And He did. That was God and His Son. And when He breathed into Adam the breath of lives, he became a living soul. In other words, he became a soul creature from the breath of God, which Brother Branham said was not just an ordinary puff of wind from your lungs of breath, but was actually the Holy Ghost. So therefore, we have the children of God by His own Spirit, His own life, brought down by nature. Even Jesus was in the natural election. Peter says so. And is traced right back in the flesh to the tribe of David, which is Judah, from which no priesthood comes. But signified by God, this is where he came from. So our picture is here, that soon as Eve listened to the serpent, and we'll show you the words again she was beguiled by him. And she brought forth Cain. Immediately Abel came forth. Now remember, the elder shall serve the younger. You have a picture right there. You have a of Jacob and Esau. Your picture. Now we do realize that Cain killed Abel. He was an absolute horrendous animal. He's a child of Satan. And the Bible distinctly says, Jesus said, your father was a murderer. You can't find one place where Satan ever killed anybody. Now, he's the father of it. He's the perpetrator in the sense that he inspires it. He's the one that gives inspiration. He's the one that delegates an authority, which is illegal and false. But the people work under him. But Satan himself cannot do it. God alone has the power of life and death. And Satan, he allows Satan to come in and do many, many things. We know it's true. But you got to go back to absolutes. And the absolute is that serpent seed in the day of Jesus were all the children of Cain, and he was of his father, the devil. And it's absolutely in the scripture there that is not simply attributed to as though this person was one who listened to and then did it. He was literally a progeny by reason of the fact that God does not even have intercourse with women and inseminate them. No way is it done. And neither can Satan do that. That kind of stuff is mythology and has to do with temple virgins where the monks said they came up from the ground a few secret passageways and they seduced the women. The women had babies and they said, well, this is a child of God, one of the gods, which was just the miserable, wretched monks seducing the nuns or whatever you want to call them. And they were called temple virgins in those days or vestal virgins. There's no way that the devil could actually procreate. And there is no way that God procreates. And there's no way that you can actually say that the devil instilled his own life within that person. You notice that Brother Branham said that ever since Eve, that Satan has fashioned women. He has the influence there. So what did Satan do? God came down through a human instrument and a human line in which Jesus would be born. And he should have been the first one born, then the rest would have come in proper order. Now he's coming back from the dead, having been resurrected. He's putting the church in order, and everything is being in order now. So we're getting ready for the millennial order, and then for a higher order. But so Satan took an animal. He took a beast, the serpent, which could talk, which could reason, which was so close to the human being, their bloodlines could mix and bring forth. Now we know that according to all theology, and Brother Branham backed it up, that the animals don't have a soul. Yet I can take you right to the Bible here in my concordance and show you they do have souls. Did Brother Branham make a mistake? By no means. People didn't catch what Brother Branham said. Inner soul. Inner. And he talked about that inner being a germ. Satan hasn't got that. He can take an object, that is an animal, he can take a person and indwell it by a spirit. But he can't make it come down through the line. Only God can do that. But the human flesh is all mixed up. That's why God took election in hand. That's why he said, I've taken Abraham now. Now, mind you, it was there all the time. It was there all the time. God did not simply say to Abraham, and these shall all nations of the earth be blessed, and say, hey, Abraham, I just thought of something great. Hey. Oh, listen, before there was a speck of stardust, before Jesus came forth, the Son of God came forth in the image and of the substance, the essentiality. Right, the very substance of God is what Jesus was. And Brother Branham said, they said, what's the difference between Jesus and God? He said, no difference except sons have beginnings. He laid it out so perfectly right in there. See? So, all right, we see that even before God said to Abraham, look, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In you shall all the earth be blessed. Through you the Gentiles will come. Well, they never came to Abraham. Well, it came seminally speaking, there's a product there, but it was through Christ. Christ died to bring them in. See? But Abraham being that type of the father, bringing forth Isaac, type of the son, bringing it all in there, see? All right. So it wasn't at that time that God said to Abraham that this was authentic, that it came into being, it originated. It was merely spoken, so now it had to manifest, and it was spoken to Abraham. But all back there, previous to Noah, he was the last true child of God, genetically speaking. The last one perfect in the flesh. His wife wasn't. The boys weren't. His wives weren't. the seed was brought over on the ark. See, in the millennium, won't happen that way. No, no, no. In the resurrection, there's no sex. There's no marriage and giving in marriage. The whole thing is perfectly done, as God said. Brother Branham said, God will create again, not by sex, but by divine miracle. And when's it going to be done? It's being done, the foundation being laid right now under the shout, which is the message to get us perfect. For they without us cannot be made perfect. We're getting in order right now, and that voice is going to bring them out of the ground. It's going to bring them all out. So we see here then that God Almighty had it all back there exactly how it was going to happen. Right back before the ark. See, even before the ark. The flood. All these were intermingled in there. And there was no way that you could ever have a seed that God wanted outside of a resurrection. Now, let's just show you something. I showed you this before, but maybe you never caught it. It's so important that the seeds be separated, and God is going to separate them. And they're being separated right now. There's a bride being chosen and brought out from a church, and all the rest are in organization, and they will die. The foolish virgin will be destroyed. Then God will destroy all the rest. They'll gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God. All of these things. So, all right. We're going back now before that flood. Now, before the flood, we had a human race. And they all got messed up. And they got messed up because of sex. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. That's where you get your story of your Amazon women warriors. Big, tall, beautifully busted women. Perfect hourglass figures. Delicious bait for man. Man went for it. Brother Branham said, man was created to take the act, and the woman has to say no. That sounds like a very horrible thing. We'll get to that when I get to stewardship. Don't worry, if I ever get there. But the point is, what I'm trying to show you, God has a separated race, and tares are not wheat, and wheat are not tares. No, sir, they're 100% divided. Now, after the flood, when God had Egypt, the people that the children of Abraham by Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, down there in Egypt. Now, what he did, he was bringing forth a group of people after four generations, 100 years at that time, the generation, and after 400 years, he brought them out. And as he brought them out, he gave them the acid test, and a whole bunch fell for idolatry. They fell for their sex, their phallic worship, and their female worship. In fact, Baal Peor is absolutely... You can look it up in the Bible. You see, it absolutely is a sexual worship because of women's primary organs. The same as phallic worship is for a male primary organs. Now, also they ran across Balaam, who brought him into sin and seduced him by prophecies or tried to, everything else. Now, here's what I'm looking at. God said to Israel, when you go into that land, you slay utterly every single person, lest you marry amongst them. Now, here's what happened. God could have bred them back to a true human race. They wouldn't do it. You think he couldn't do it? Right today, they've got dogs that were in Egypt, down in South America. Purple, hairless dogs. The challenge was taken up, and maybe 20 years ago, they bred those dogs right back to, or not bred them back, but they proved they could do it. They got purple, hairless dogs. What good are they? But I'm showing you genetics. Genetics is a part of God's program, and genetics proves there's two seeds. You see? So don't ever forget your two vines and your two seeds. And that's the thing that church can't stand, and they never could stand, because they hate predestination. And predestination, improperly taught, led to hyper-Calvinism, as it's called, and antinomianism, which means you don't need a means to salvation. You don't need to get born again. You're already on the books. You already are that person. So therefore, there's no necessity for rebirth, no necessity really for anything. And you have a hope that you'll be there. And if you're not there, you weren't meant to be there. So who gives a rip? Now that's what Brother Branham said happened under Luther, because he understood predestination. He didn't go far enough, of course. He went too far in some direction. It wasn't that Luther went too far. The people went too far. Just like they came along then under Luther, under Wesley, and they took the pendulum all the way back to the negative. Now, in every single case, although it was understood in Scripture, there are children of the devil and there are children of God, they did not take it genetically and physically. They made it entirely spiritual, which is a bunch of hogwash. It's physical, physical, physical. And if you're not a seed of God, you will not be spiritual. You can pretend it. You can show every manifestation. You can have a wonderful love that's as phony as a $3 bill. You'd be nothing but a stinking hypocrite, a stinking serpent seed. Now, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, and I'm not against serpent seed, as though I'm like the Abernathys. They wanted to get a bunch of guns and find the serpent seed and shoot them. Well, they found out one of them was more serpent seed than anybody he ever wanted to gun down. Talk about a bunch of crooks and liars. You see it every place you go. And the purer the message, the rottener there's going to be at minimum on the peripheral. Absolutely. Take everything the prophet said and bring it right around and roll the thing in the dirt and dust. So, all right, I want you to see, as I showed you last night and put the emphasis this morning, if you really want to stir up a fuss, and yet if you really want to know the word of Almighty God, you're going to have to start right on the twin doctrine. Who is Abel and who is Cain? Who is Ishmael and who is Isaac? Who is Jacob and who is Esau? Who is a reprobate and who isn't? And I'll tell you who the reprobate is. The reprobate, the modern Christianity wants to make everybody a reprobate, wants to make him a goat, wants to make him a hog, wants to make him a dog. You can't do it. Paul the Apostle said, except you have the Spirit of Christ, you are reprobate. And the point is this, if you have that gene from God, you are not a reprobate. God does not save serpent seed. He came unto his own. And they're the only ones that get salvation. Redemption means to buy back. And it means to buy out of the marketplace. It means to free out of the marketplace. And means to give you the seal. You're gone. You're under no more bondage whatsoever. You're sealed to the day of redemption. That doesn't happen to serpent seed. That doesn't happen to the children of the devil. Jesus himself absolutely said, they are going tares to be bound for the burning. And Brother Branham, the qualified prophet of God, as we showed you last night by vindication, and literally hundreds of sermons and hours showed you his vindication, he spoke being the voice of Almighty God. Now, listen to what he says here. Yes, now the lady is just breaking up in front of me. The light's breaking over and all. And I'm beginning to see about it. That's what he's saying. But she's something. I see she has a gallbladder trouble. Her right side. And something wrong in her throat. Is that right? And also, you're standing. Also, I see when you're standing with clothes, you got a growth. I think he was meaning he saw her in the doctor's office with the doctor's gown on. Because he often said that. There's a growth. On your right shoulder, is that right? Is that true? Now, here. Now, what spoke to you, lady, wasn't me. It was my voice, but I wasn't operating it, because I wouldn't know what to say. No, but it was some other voice. It's my voice, but something speaking my voice. Is that right? Do you believe it was God? Then come here. Now, listen to what he says. Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thy beloved child. Why didn't he say, Heavenly Father, in the name of thy wonderful self, Jesus, who is the father and the child? Well, they say it. Why didn't they say it? When I say what they think and what they believe, oh, man, the hatred just zooms. Even hear voices. The Lee Vale is wrong. Watch out. He said different. Here's the Bible open. Come on, stand beside me. I challenge you. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, I'll be there at that white throne. You're going to be there too. They can't stand the truth. I got to find one place where Paul said different from William Branham. Go to your Bible and find it. I picked up books by Booth Cliburn, the genius. And I'm going to tell you, I never read such piffle and hogwash in my life as he tried to bring out Jesus only in the epistles. I set it down. Now listen, I'm not stupid. I'm not 189 IQ. I'm quite a bit below that. But neither I got a minus 72. And I'm not devil-possessed. And I recognize the voice of God and the prophet. What happened to these people? Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thy beloved child. I ask for the healing of my sister, and I bless her now and condemn the enemy and make her well in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Just a minute. Do you think that was William Branham, or is that God speaking to William Branham again? He said, I bless thee, my sister, in the name of Jesus, if you're healing. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go being happy, rejoicing. Don't doubt. The Bible said, go ye and sin no more. That's unbelief. Don't disbelieve it. Just don't disbelieve it. In other words, come to the place where we have the passive faith of the true revelation and seeing that Jesus is the Son of God and we were in Him and we're part of His generations because, you see, He didn't have a generation to look upon. The Bible said a seed shall be for His generation. So all the generations are His seed. Can we really believe it? If He and the Father is one, then you and I are one. From one source, the whole thing. Go and sin no more. Don't let your unbelief come in, especially your passive. And when your passive begins to go up, then use your active. Where He said, the worst will come upon you. And every time the church turned down the passive faith, and because Satan will come and try to nip it, this is the one bride he cannot get to. Thank God he can't get to it. Because we have both the baptism and the baptizer and are already sealed in. The mind is sealed in and cannot take anything but the truth. And if you have the seed truth this morning of what I'm talking about, those two seeds, if you have that understanding, there's a child of God and the child of Satan, and you know how they come by natural generation. And Satan couldn't do what God could do because God created. And let's get this flat. God created and God formed, and there's a part of man that God did not form and did not create. The part that God formed was the body by His hands. And He shall desire for the work of His hands. He wants our bodies out of the ground. He wants us living vessels in the millennium and the new Jerusalem and all the future to come. And there's a part He created, which was the spirit. But there's a part that was not created. That's the soul. That gene from God. Just the same. That is the substance of God, the same as Jesus is the substance of God. And how does it come down? It comes by natural generation. The male carries it. You can say what you want. And the women can hate the men all they want, call them sperm donors. Women are going to pay a price they never believe they'll pay for cutting their hair. When the apparitions come on this earth and they see they think they're they're scorpions, maybe 9 blocks high, you'll find out what's coming. We talked about insanity before I'm finished. You'll find out what's coming. It won't be so high and mighty. God's the male. He donated the sperm called the Holy Spirit. But He had the clothing for natural generation. And Satan couldn't do that. Couldn't do it, so he took an animal. And the Bible said at the end time, they're natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. That's lake of fire. Serpency. Women can't take it. Men are so happy with the women. They stick up for them. You think that was a big, hairy, four-footed elephant coming in, clomp, 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 raping the woman? I've never seen a hairy snake in my life. I don't think they got him. It was a male animal. He looked way better than Adam did even. More facile. More suave. More subtle. More deceiving. That's what happened. So, all right. Now, the next subject and principle you must understand is Alpha and Omega. And the Alpha is the two seeds. Where they came from. Their destiny, their origin, their culture, their ways in the book of Genesis. And they travel together. And if there's a trail of the serpent, let's get this flat. If there's a trail of the serpent from Genesis to Revelation, then there's a trail of the Redeemer from Genesis to Revelation. And the principle of the teaching of the Alpha and Omega is to understand the trail, the dealings, and the eventual disposition as is found in the book of Revelation. And whatever you see in Revelation was planted in the book of Genesis. And in Revelation you see a holy city with the tree of life, the river of life. You see the Lamb on the throne in the pyramidal city, surrounded by the bride and 144,000 who are eunuchs or virgins, caretakers of the bride. You see the Lamb on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. Now tell me, are there two gods? How stupid can they get? Huh? I want to know. You don't see two gods. You see the Son of God and all the other sons of God according to order as spoken of in 1 Corinthians by Paul, who said every man in his order. And there's a glory of the sun, there's a glory of the moon, there's a glory of the stars, and all flesh is not the same. There's beast, there's fish, there's man, there's this. So is the resurrection. So is the resurrection. So is the resurrection. So is the resurrection. And the man says there's no resurrection. We're not coming back. Oh, we're all coming back. We're all coming back. Everything's coming back. According to the life that's brought it. But there won't be any serpent seed that's going to go past the resurrection with its own culture, domicile, with its own inbred system of hate and destruction and perversion. They'll be gone. And there won't be filthy nature destroyed the passenger pigeon. And hundreds of species are dying daily because of serpent seed. Because God's seed are agronomists. Simple two-bit farmers who barely scratch the soil. And they don't need all the intricacies the so-called culture and so-called civilization has brought. So without Alpha and Omega, you don't know where you're at, where you're standing, what hour you're in. You can't take the scripture. You don't even understand every time you see the word fire, that's end time. And now when you see water, that's blessing. You've got to understand the principles. Alpha and Omega. I preached one entire sermon on it years ago. Perhaps the most eye-opening sermon on principles I ever preached outside of these, of course. But it tells you these things. Now, we were looking at the twins last night. In 2 Thessalonians, which is for this hour, and that's based upon 1 Thessalonians, of course. Because they go together, they both deal with the end times. It is known that these two books concern the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As all Bible is prophecy, these are even more so prophecy. And without the Alpha and Omega principle, you'd never be able to place it. That is, to understand it. Even though you can place it because a vindicated prophet did it. Now, at the same time, you have 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord will descend them with a shout. That's a command, a military command to get in order. In other words, it is an utterance. And the only utterance that can get any church in order or anyone in order is an utterance from God. Because the world is full of utterances right now, and they're all fallacious and misleading. That's the message, Brother Branham said. And the message, of course, is the presence of Almighty God. Now, Brother Branham says in Southern Pines, 62, when I got him down there for a meeting, he said he would come. Now you say, Brother Branham, I don't smoke, drink, chew, commit adultery. That ain't it. That's not sin. Those are the attributes of sin. In other words, what comes out of a root. Where the influence within brings forth a manifestation without, and you see it. Smoking, drinking, adultery, blasphemy, all those things. That's the attribute. Those are attributes. Those are the attributes of unbelief. See, if you believed, you wouldn't do that. See? No, that isn't what sin is. Sin is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. See, why? Because he hasn't believed in the only begotten Son. Why not? Because he won't bring his deeds to the light. He won't bring his worship to the light. He won't bring his understanding to the light, his theology. That's just an attribute of unbelief. But if you can beat all that away from you and say, Lord God, I believe just exactly what your word says. Beat all away from you what? Your unbelief. Your typepost. Your theology. Your doctrine. What you stand on. What you base your eternal life on. You beat that all away. Say, Lord God, I believe just exactly what your word says. But you see, the point is, that's what they stand on. When they say, William Branham believed this, I don't believe that. Like those fellas down there in Chautauqua. That's just south of here. That's in Ohio. Not too far from Middletown. Lindsay and Duplessis got in the platform and they said, well, now you can believe Brother Branham when he's in the trance telling you what's wrong with yourself, but you don't believe him when it comes to doctrine. Well, what they got to prove they're right? Some little prayer line where somebody got healed and everybody was surprised? I would to God someone had his camera the night that Brother Branham said, I'll guarantee, I'm sure it was 25 healings. You could have come to him like a pretzel. Or your limbs like cooked macaroni or spaghetti. It had too little water when it cooked and so it all gelled together and now it's cold. In a perfect healing. You could have brought someone 9/10 dead with cancer, or even somebody dead. I got up and walked. And these wonderful, wonderful people said, now we want to get prayed for and take a chance. Would you sooner take a chance this morning on seeing something, or would you really like to see a resurrection? Would you forego everything in this world this morning? Every single thing you've ever hoped for, everything you want, anything at all, to see a resurrection? Well, you'd be a fool if you said, well, I'd sooner see a resurrection. See, those guys didn't. They took a minor, when they could have had a major. And yet God did the major. There wasn't one miss out of hundreds that night that I saw. Not one miss. God likely multiplied that and put the exponential curve on it from maybe up to 8. When you get deep, you got a long, long way from the beginning. All right. Now listen. If you can beat that all away from you, say, Lord, I believe just exactly what your word says, and I believe, as we preached last night. Now listen. And here's what he's saying. If you can believe that the appearing of the Lord comes before the coming of the Lord is two different words altogether. See, now the appearing, as he promised in the last days, that he'd be with us. Now you tell me I preached the presence wrong all these years? It's right here. If you don't see the presence, if you don't see who's present, if you don't know what he's doing, well, thank God at least you see presence, but what are you really seeing? Oh, he's been with us all the time. I told you, a friend of mine just quoted to Brother Pete Clausen a while ago when they talked about presence. He said, well, he's with every one of us, and yet that man would talk very intelligently with me about the presence. He didn't believe it. Amen. How can he believe it? He's here! He! Who's he? God! Who's God? Jehovah Elohim. One God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father. Who else? Who else? Don't tell me it's the Lamb. He's on the Father's throne. And what a refuge, and what a consolation, you that are troubled, rest with us. What a consolation it is, Christians, that we stand here tonight in the presence of God, in the face of His Word, and the impossibilities that He promised in here, we can see manifested right before us. That's letting off the pressure. What a wonderful thing. If that isn't a refuge, if that isn't a haven of rest, if that's not relaxation under the seventh seal, I'm put that in there for you, I don't know what would be. That's before the seven seals were preached. To see Jesus who said, the works that I do, shall you do also. He didn't finish it. He didn't have to. Shall you do also, and greater than these, because I go to my Father. Now, why is he saying greater than these, because I go to my Father? He's proving in the Omega today what he did in the Alpha. It is my Father who does the works. I'm the legitimate Son. I'm the Son of David. I'm the coming King. I'm the High Priest. I'm every single thing I'm supposed to be. What's written in the volume of the book concerning me. And he said, there it is, the glorified Christ on the Father's throne, and the Father coming right down here to set the church in order for the Son to have a decent wife. Yeah. Presence. The presence has been equated by some people to two souls and thunder doctrines. Forget it. I have no room for polygamy and adultery. And I have no room for fallacy. The seven thunders under the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Take it from there with all its ramifications, and you go right in to the resurrection, to the rapture, to the wedding supper, to come back upon earth 1,000 years, and on to eternity. Roman candle. Oh, what a promise that is. Clever William Branham cut it right off. Now let them think, hallelujah. Oh, great works as never before, and we're all doing it. I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody, that's anybody, 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 anybody. That's you this morning. Tell me, did you hear the word, voice of God come to you? Tell me what eardrum. Tell me how you knew. Give me some conviction that you really do know. Come on, prove it. Come on, get some Bible proof and do it. Can't do it. There's your proof right there. I've got something from God too. Sure. Oh, what a promise that is. And he said, now how many believe that's the truth? Ha! What did they think when it happened? Were they thinking that he was saying what they were thinking? Yeah, they were thinking that he was saying what they were thinking, but he wasn't. They weren't thinking about the presence of God as to His presence. When you see God come down from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare Himself as ever He did, God come down into the prophet and declare Himself through the prophet using His voice. Oh, they missed that a million miles. They weren't listening. Well, I'll be honest. I'd have missed it too. In fact, no doubt I did if I'd have been there. I'd have caught the presence in my own understanding. Yeah. I wouldn't have caught Genesis 18. Most of you people sitting here wouldn't have caught it except that a priestess. Let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, let's not be so tricky we can pat. You know, the person, one person broke his elbow patting himself on the back. You don't have to be a doctor to figure that one out. How many believe that to be the truth, he said? Twice he said, if you only knew who I am, you'd all be healed. Once in Florida, and it's on the tape also. My wife remembered that from Florida, and then she found it on the tape also. So you see, she's not out in the woods somewhere looking around, peeking in. You don't get that unless you're in the sheepfold. Because it goes over everybody's head but the sheep. Listen to me. Don't you understand the serpent seed turned down God in the flesh of Jesus Christ? They turned down God in the flesh of Moses. They sawed Isaiah asunder. The prophets were killed outside of Jerusalem. Do you think they're going to believe William Branham? Oh, he's only a man. Oh, what are you? Some cherubim? If you are, you can't be born again. You're going to hell. Because if you were a cherubim of God, you'd be up there with God. You wouldn't be down here messing around with us galoots. We say, Brother Bale, I must be an angel. Then you're going to hell too, because the angels, the good angels, are up there. Except for a few that are attached to somebody else. You know, the worst bonfire and smudge fires there are those that are made of tar and fuel that is hardly combustible. And you know, I think that's the same way with people. The bigger the smoke screen is, it shows the more mess they got in their hearts, minds, and lives. But they're pretending they got an awful lot of good stuff there. Now, we're looking at this Thessalonians here about the fact the Lord Himself descended with a message to put the church in order. And over in 2 Thessalonians, you find actually more material on the same subject when it says in verse 7, chapter 1, you that are troubled, rest with us or relax. Now, that's under the seventh seal. And relaxing comes under the seventh seal. So the point is this, whatever follows then, the rest of those verses, is happening now. Has happened or is happening. Because it specifies the time, which is the Omega. The Omega time of rest, which is the end time. And remember, the millennium signified a rest, and they never went into it. They would not enter any rest. Why? Because of unbelief. Even though they saw the miracles and knew that it was God, had all the evidence right out there in front of them, the Balaams and all the false prophets, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, they still turned it down. They could not believe in seed and seed. They could not believe in wheat and in tares. They put the whole thing in there. And when Korah, Dathan, Abiram said, well, Moses, who do you think you are? We've got something too to offer to the people. We can prophesy. He said, but God, they were all prophets. So I'm not in anybody's way. I'm not doing anything against anybody. So don't get in my way. And when they came against him, for the first time, Moses got mad and he got red hot. Worse than when he struck the rock. And he said, if I'm not right and they're right, get rid of me. But he said, if they're wrong and I'm right, don't let them die a common death of man. And fire came down and destroyed him and their families. Or, you know, snakes have babies, you know. Yeah. Sheep have babies, too. Lois and Eunice and Timothy were all of one kind. Now it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You that are troubled, rest with us. At the time of vindication, you won't have to worry anymore because now you know.
Faith has not only given way to hope, there isn't even any faith and hope anymore, it's knowledge. It's knowledge. Face to face. Scientific. Now listen, you know as well as I do, if somebody gives you a promise, or you're like farmers, you put the grain in, and you watch the sun and the rain, you watch the crop, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of anxiety there because you don't know that you're really going to get a crop. But when that crop is in other words, the seed has come to the place of reproduction. The seed has come from the planting to the harvest. In other words, the Alpha to the Omega, and you know it's Omega because you planted the Alpha, and this was the Omega, and nothing came in between to stop the Omega. Now, all was in between until the seventh church age, something stopped the Omega. It's what Brother Branham said in Ephesus. There could have been a rapture, but it wasn't all in. And he said it won't be in 1977 because the events aren't in. And some of my dearest friends were preaching, it's in 77. Well, I said the events aren't in. I must have embarrassed one fellow when I came behind him before 1970 blew past. And I said, it's not going to be in 1977. There's no way the events aren't in. How are you going to put in 1977? You know, that's 19 years ago, isn't it? Almost 20. And the events are just nicely coming in. The Pope's hallucinating. He's got these visions and these thoughts of Fatima. Actually, Fatima is short for Fat Mama. Don't worry about that, Fat. Oh, God, have pity for these people out there. They base everything upon impressions and some little thing that happened. Some little even cataclysm of nature. What has a cataclysm of nature got to do with thus, saith the Lord? Come on. So, all right. The time of relaxation, these things are going on here. Now, what would give you greater relaxation under the seventh seal than to know you have been approved by God and He's being glorified and admired in our midst? In other words, the bride has entered into a true worship. Why? Because God Himself came down to reveal Himself and to woo her and to give Himself favor with her by manifesting His incomparable vindication, the proof that He is God. And said, I've chosen you. Oh, man, you talk about a shindig and a dance. That's dance. They accuse me of not being, passionate enough, of not having... I challenge you to scream this morning with me. If you can't, you're dead. And if you scream because you don't understand, you're a hypocrite. And if you scream and say we got to scream because Brother Branham had to get liberated by screaming, he couldn't scream because he was in bondage. And you believe the Lamb came down. Where's the nail prints? Huh? Something wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. It's like Israel gave the mighty shout. Oh, we're going to win. So they shouted and they screamed and they ran. And all their heads got cut off. Yeah. I know Pentecostals. I know all about them. I was one for a long, long time. And once in a while, anointing would come. We'd shout, we'd rejoice, and maybe even dance, like Brother Branham. When he heard the music, he began tapping the stone, pretty soon whirling in the aisle. But then he later on told us, he said, you don't dance just because there's music. But if there's music, why shouldn't you dance? Whew, no problem. Don't do do-si-do with a girlfriend in the aisle or something, though. Or pat somebody else's wife in the excuse when you're do-si-do-sing. I've been all through it. I've seen it all. You know what happens then? You say, oh, that was so good. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good. So let's start yelling and feel good again. No, you yell because you felt good. Now you yell so you can feel good. Oh, it's not a vicious circle. A little psychology. Relax.
Now watch, who know not God and who obey not the gospel. They don't see him. They're not aware of him. They don't know that he's there. They just don't have it, evidently, so that something good could come out of it, the way they'd like it to come out of it. Then also down over here, you find those people here who welcome him. They know he's in the midst, and they admire him, and they glorify him. So you got twins right there. See? Now that's what you're told about here. Now, then here he said, "Now beseech your brethren by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering again in him." Now that's future. See, because he's talking with this up here. Just because there's a chapter there, you don't have to believe there is a chapter there. It isn't. There's no chapters in the Bible. That was put there by a Roman Catholic priest in France as he wrote about his little parish, and he thought how nice it would be to put this in little brackets and, you know, verses, and he did it. I'm not saying he wasn't anointed of God to do it, and I don't say the devil did it. I really believe, because Brother Branham went along with it, God did it. He used the man. "That ye soon be not shaken in mind or trouble, neither by word, nor by letter, or spirit." Three things. Jesus, wrong spirit, wrong word. Huh? 2 Corinthians. So what about it? It's right today. Wrong gospel, wrong Jesus, wrong spirit. Right? Sir, it's right, because he's talking about today. Huh? Omega, not Alpha. Twins. Twins there. Twins here. Right? Okay, no problem? Huh? You sure? Okay. "Let no man deceive you." About this whole thing. That lets you know that this end time, there's terrible, terrible deception. And Brother Branham said this is the most treacherous age of all ages, because this is the one age when Peter warns us, peril, peril, peril. And Paul said, "I was in peril in the sea. I was in peril in prison. I was in peril in there. I was in peril in my life." But he never was in peril concerning God. He said, "Neither height nor depth, persecution, peril, nakedness, famine, sword, nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and I am in him." And he knew that God had a covenant with his son. Aha! And the son said, "I honor his covenant. God give them to me. They're my brothers. I'll lose none. Not one brother, not one sister. How are you going to get lost?" That's not a covenant with you. Don't be a fathead. That's a covenant with God. Huh? Amen. If I got a contract to make $1 million a month by selling books, and I could be a millionaire right now in my series in faith, I believe that before God. And I said, "I make a covenant. Everybody in this church will pay off your house." What's that got to do with you? Nothing. I'm paying it off. You're the benefit of my covenant with the publishing company, $1 million. You simply get the benefits of my covenant. Huh? Well, all right. Who would you stand on? Your covenant, even with God, or God's covenant with the Son? I'd sooner depend on His any day of the week. You know why? Because it's consummated. The price is paid, and the testator has come back living to see that we get it. Yeah. People got an idea, and I know the idea has some merit, that he lives to make intercession, because you and I, we could be pulled out of the net. He quickly intercedes. Get that guy back. No. He's there as the pledge before God, a fulfilled word of God, standing there that you and I will have this word fulfilled in us. How can you get lost? Oh, man, if the seventh seal does not give us rest, you tell me where rest is and what it's all about. There's two kinds of rest. The first rest is found where there's a bolt of fabric and the designer puts the pattern on the bolt and cuts out the pattern, and the rest, a remnant, sits there. See? Now the second rest
is what the pattern gets, because it is the pattern of the original cloth, what God really wants for us as his bride. And we get the rest right there. Now, you got even the very children of God separated. Bride, wise virgin, non-bride, foolish virgin, but nonetheless elected. And there's no way they could get eternal life, granted that, the Holy Spirit come upon them in the resurrection, unless they were seed. There is no way. Because you cannot, God himself cannot even change a dog to a cat, because he made it irrevocable. Cat's a cat and dog's a dog. Seed time and harvest. Can't change these things though. Now it says here, let no man deceive you. There's going to come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now he tells you right there, the son of perdition. So there's a revelation now on the son of perdition. There has to be, because there's a revelation on the son of God, which is the son of man. If you see son of perdition, you see son of man. If you see son of man, you see son of perdition. Well, what in the world is the son of man? Luke 17. Brother Branham tells you out there. And Luke 17, and verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the son of man. But watch. Verse 20, and when he demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh out of observation. It'll come, but you won't be able to see it. Neither say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's amongst you. Yet it's within you, but it's really amongst. He said, disciple, the days will come, and you desire to see one of the days, the Son of Man shall not see it. You want to see it. And they'll say, lo here, lo there, don't go after them. For as lightning cometh out of one part of the heaven, shines out of the other part, so it's also also shall the Son of Man be in his day. And he tells you they'll want to see it. They won't see it, but somebody else will. Because it said the Son of Man will be in his day as light that comes from the east and goes to the west. Comes all the way to the west, to the Gentiles. Matthew 12. He must suffer first many things and be rejected. He tells you that he's going to die and go to heaven. You send the Holy Spirit back. 2,000 years will go by. This is what Peter's quoting from in Acts 2 of the twins right there. Your children, my children. Now remember, Jesus called Israel serpent seed, and the majority were. Hardly anybody came under his ministry. When the Holy Ghost fell, there's 3,000, 5,000, a few more thousand. That was it. And persecution set in, went to the Gentiles. Serpent seed. Your sons, my sons. Peter said it. As it were in the days of Noah, it'll be in the days of the Son of Man. They have to repeat. What is Son of Man? The prophet like unto Moses. So there you have a prophet come back with the full messianic complex of vindication. The searching of Scripture and proving what is right. So now we have the Alpha and the Omega right here. Why? Because they're twins. Now, if we can't accept the twin doctrine unflawed this morning, I apologize for everything I've ever taught you. I don't know split beans from buttermilk. I'm out of here. I'll be honest with you. Then I can split the Scripture and no longer say when God is present, they're blessing and cursing. Mount Abel, Mount Gerizim. All I can say is God comes one time with his left hand, next time he comes with his right hand. One time he leaves his left hand home, next time his right hand home. Forget it. Forget it. I can't take that. Brother Brown said, nigger the positive. Every time you go into the atom, you go lower, lower, it's negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. And this day, there is negative and positive, and the negative has overshadowed the positive, except to the extent we've had vindication proof God is here, and the positive is now shucking off the negative. And we're talking now spiritual understanding, attitudes, aptitudes, recognitions, and actual assimilation and being a part of it. More and more and more, till the hand, and it goes right up here, and the hand, the shadow, yes, it is a hand.
And one day we'll be completely in the hands of him whom we see not, but he's here. Because he's going to take us up and be incarnated to us. Now, so therefore, Son of Man's got to be here at this time. And if that's the son of perdition, the Son of Man is up here. What made him Son of Man? That's a prophet. God. God and the prophet. Jesus was born a man and a prophet. And subsequently, and because of that, Messiah. The question comes, can he change his ministry? The answer is no. There's no way. He's still not omniscient. He's still not omnipotent. He has to learn from the Father even now. He has to receive from the Father even now. And it always will be that way. And I can prove it to you, because in the New Jerusalem, when the pillar fires on the above the throne, before they call, he answers. Pillar fire. God. Before God was the Father, he was God. And before any man who is a father is a pal to his children, he better be a father first and not be that pal. Because the question went out recently. They questioned all the parents and said, what would you do if you caught your child smoking pot? No big deal. Nice pal, but a rotten, stinking father. Maybe a stud or a sire or something like that, but Father, forget it, forget it, forget it, forget it. In other words, I'm equating males to dogs and beasts, animals. Like a tomcat will come by, if the mother cat doesn't defend the kittens, he'll eat the kittens. Nice to be a man, isn't it? Here's your malehood and your manhood gone down the river. To be a man is to be in Christ. To be with the Word. Not with some jerk psychiatrist or drunken, drug-popping socialist, social worker tries to tell you. All right, it says right here, who opposes and exalts himself all this above that is called God or worship. You think that's not being done now? Come on, that's being done. They crucify themselves as the Son of the living God. He sits in the temple. He's already got a configuration waiting for him to be incarnated in him. If there's a prophet here, Son of Man, there's got to be Son of Perdition out here. Spirit's got to be working in people. The Bible speaks of the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. It doesn't say the child of disobedience, it says children of disobedience. The Spirit of God's working in us, the Spirit of disobedience working in them. We worship the true and living God, we honor Him, we listen to Him, we understand Him, we know Him, we glorify Him, we admire Him, we honor Him, we obey Him. These guys don't. Jesus got a bride, Satan's got a bride. Remember not when I was with you, I told you these things, He said? That are yet to happen. And he which hinders will hinder to be taken out of the way. Who's holding everything back? God is holding everything back. Because he's in control. Now, you notice where the mystery of iniquity already work. Only he that letteth will let him to be taken out of the way. That's what, that's what we're looking at. So, with the mystery of iniquity, which we know is certainly a terrible thing. Now, just want to look in here a second. Ezekiel 28. And it says here in verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. In other words, you are an absolute perfect. You're absolutely in the Word, leading in the worship of God. Nothing was awry until you became a fender bender. Till you became one who twisted the Word. One who changed it. One whose perception
was his own perception and no longer the perception of God. One who exalted himself above the Word of God, twisting it, changing it, as we saw the other night, last night. And we see the children of discrepancy are the children of disobedience, the children of the iniquitous one, in whom abides iniquity in those children. We see all of that. And we understand, at least to a degree, some of those things. Now, let's just take a little further look here. In verse 14, no, we read that. Well, first of all, it says up here concerning Satan, thou summest up the sum of wisdom, sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In other words, when you talk about perfect in beauty, you use the word perfection with the understanding nothing can be added to, nothing can be taken from it. In other words, this person is an ultimate. He's an ultimate in wisdom, which is beautiful. In the sense, it is that which is to be desired. That which is you're happy with. That which is you take as your ultimate. This is it. This is what fooled Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because it says right here, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. What was he doing there? Seducing Eve. See? Every precious stone and so on was thy covering. And that's the same as the as the ephod, which covered the high priest. But you notice, all the jewels aren't the same. There's a discrepancy. So this person here was a high priest unto God. And as a high priest, he went down into the garden. And as a high priest, he led woman astray and man fallen, which is a type of the bride led astray in the beginning, and people falling right down the line with error that God allowed. But there was enough light and enough understanding, and each one being seen. God couldn't lose any of them. So though I make my bed in hell, you're going to find me there. He's got to find him there. If he's the bottom of the sea, he's got to find him there. If he's dust and gas in the atmosphere, he's got to find him there. Why? Can't lose him. He's a part of God. David said, shaped in iniquity, born in sin. My sin is ever before me. You couldn't think day or night, get away from it. Great lover of women. 300 children in 1 year. Did he think of his lust for Bathsheba and killing her husband every time he performed the act? Most men aren't haunted when it comes to sex. They should be. You can't present yourself clean vessel. What are you here for? Do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. I got no control. I merely preach. Only I, if I control, is my own, if indeed I do that. Now watch what he says. He said, thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared. You know what a tabret is? It's a tambourine. A tambourine, the Salvation Army is great with tambourines. You can't play a tune on them. There's no way. What if we played the song this morning, Amazing Grace? I can take the bagpipes and understand the bagpipes. But the tambourine? Clink, 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 clink. That's a tambourine. Huh? Can you hear amazing with ching 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 ching? No, can't even hear that. That's not very good Amazing Grace, is it either? Pipes. Like a flute, like a pipe. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is talking about the word coming by the prophet and people prophesying as an adjunct. And he says in verse 7, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, tabret, pipe, harp, all Bible.
except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what has piped your heart? He doesn't even mention the tabret. So Satan already had, way back in there, tambourines and pipes. And a tambourine is a noisy, unclarified instrument. It can get into the swing of it. It can get into the mood of it. Can set your feet to dancing, to dancing, to dancing. Oh yeah, I saw him. Oh, I'm not lying. Sister Reynolds could do that to a T. She's a little Salvation Army girl with a haircut at one time, and she had the skirts just right, I suppose. And she, oh boy, could she pray for the sick and they got healed, because she herself had her breast eaten off with cancer and got healed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, Barbara Keller's a nice little flutist. But don't ask me to play. When Barbara plays, I can hear Amazing Grace and Saints Come Marching In. I can hear it all wonderful. I don't have any problem when Barbara plays. But I'll tell you what, honestly, I don't want Rivers Prue trying it. Not even on a kazoo, son, or a whole comb and a piece of tissue paper. Because you'd give an uncertain sound. Not on your message and the interpretation, but on that, see? That's what we're looking at. Satan already had within him prepared to bring in the uncertain sounds. So that's what he did in the garden. He entered right into worship down there with Eve. And he said, "Say," he said, I know all about heaven. I know all about God. I was a confidant. I led in the worship up there. Lots of angels. I'm spiritual. I'll tell you something. And so, she listened. You know what that's the alpha of? That's the alpha of Revelation 3. I know thy works, neither hot or cold. I would you were cold or hot. You know what? He came to her with a lukewarm message. Oh, yeah. He didn't come red hot and say, "Listen, God kicked me out of heaven. I used to be up there with Michael." Jesus foreknown as that and inhabiting him, personalized in him. I was up there, and I couldn't take that straight word. See, I'm just not built that way. My pipes don't give a certain sound. My tambourine gets you all worked up, gives you rhythm, gives you beat, but you don't know where you're going, what you're beating time to. I never thought Beethoven ever would be playing the tambourine. On a Jew's harp, yes, and a comb, yeah, maybe a piccolo. Now, that'd be for sure. Hey, even a saw with a violin bow. But you can take every one of those and go, squeak, 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 squawk, squawk, squawk. Nobody knows anything. And Satan came to her, lukewarm. One word off was all he was. He bent the word, bent the whole word. He was a theologian. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Is there better theologians, strictly, scripturally speaking, than Satan when it comes to knowing God? Because the Bible said the devils also know God and tremble. Art thou come to torment us before our time? What are they saying now? They know the answer. It's all over. The devil's got his answer, said Brother Branham. Yes, yes, this is the time for torment. Yep, yep. Yep. This is the time the devil's going to be taken and cast in the lake of fire. Well, in the pit, rather. Yeah. No. We're reading here, weren't we? Yeah. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor,
and blind and naked. Now,
let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter. How much time we got? Oh, man alive. I hope the dinner's not cooked. Because we keep you here a while until the dinner's cooked. All right. And the devil said in that third chapter, he said, why, he said, God knows when you eat thereof, your eyes be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here's your first theologian. Now, God's his own theologian, but this guy stands there and he said, I'm the theologian. I led in the worship. I know God. I was right there with his son the whole bit. He said, I was the great one created. I sealed up the sum of wisdom and beauty. And he said, I'm represented in this man right here. Now, you look at Adam. Now, is Adam a physical specimen like my boy? Where do you think the giants came from? From the serpent. What giant snake has remnants of hips? The boa constrictor. What snakes copulate in the same position man does? Boa constrictor. She's out there. God just changed all the bones. Okay. Now, when the woman saw the tree was good for food. Now, before that, she didn't see it was good for food. Actually, the truth of the matter is, she was told it is not good for food, because if a tree that will kill you is to be eaten, it is not good for food. And I can prove to you, it wasn't a tree that was planted in the garden, because the Bible distinctly says every tree planted in the garden was good for food. So if this was good for food, it was not a tree planted in the garden. This is allegory. You're into symbolism. So here she's looking at it. Pleasant to the eyes. If you're truly aware of this day and this message, can men like Benny Hinn, who breathe on you, point at you, make you fall over, wrong spirit right there, and you come up healed? Oh, hey, I like that. I don't mind getting knocked over. Oh, my, I'll be like a young person again. My cancer's gone. My TB is gone. Oh, hey, look, you can't tell me that's not... I never said the healing wasn't God. Well, you can't tell me that's wrong. Brother Branham says, stay away from that stuff. Did you, did you not say it? Well, come on, he said it. So now her eyes are anointed. Wrong anointing. But she's anointed. No doubt about it. She is seeing what isn't there. She is hallucinating. This is where insanity came from. A mind that is not in control of the human soul and the human spirit, but is now degraded and wretched. Not necessarily devil-possessed, but wrong training and wrong slanting until now, that person lives in that lie. Living a lie and living in a lie from a liar. Now, at the end time, they're wretched, miserable, and naked and don't know it. Eve knew she was naked too late, and so were the Laodiceans. But here is where it came from. And the same thing today. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. She thought she was correctly anointed. And she wasn't. She was to begin with. And she threw it away. And so has every church age done that. Correctly anointed and go to the wrong anointing. Every single time it has to be. And that's why the Bible said over here in Revelation, he says, I count you to buy gold to me tried in the fire. That's your trial of your passive faith, and all, and more so than active. That you may be rich, lay up the treasures in heaven, see. White raiment, you may be clothed. The shame of your nakedness do not appear. They think they're clothed and they're not. They're naked. She found out too late she was naked. She wasn't naked to begin with in the sense of the word. It was absolutely a scriptural nakedness. It was a good thing she had to begin with that nakedness. But now there's a scriptural nakedness. She's naked before God. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Remember what John said, we be not ashamed at his appearing. But that didn't solve anything when John said, we shouldn't be ashamed at his appearing. The thing is, they are at his appearing and don't know enough to be ashamed. Do you realize that people can hardly blush anymore? That a blush is one of the rarest things in the world. And yet if years and years ago, a man went to the little maid and even looked at her, she'd stand there and blush. No, no, there's no shame left. The women are naked. The men encourage it. All around the world, there's naked beaches now. And my God, how some of the women look. You know, actually, a decent man would vomit. Either on the object or later on. Anoint thine eyes. It tells you they don't have the anointing. They've lost it. They're false and they're just a casual anointing. They don't have reality. They don't have the anointing Jesus had, because the Bible said God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, and the same thing comes upon his prophets and every one of the bride of Jesus Christ. They're not anointed properly. This is a fulfillment of the book of Acts. The Spirit will fall upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men have dreams. Young men have visions. But upon my men servants and upon my female servants, my children, there'll be anointing too. And that'll be real. The anointing's real. But the understanding and the perfect and the conduct and those things are false. Yeah, they've come to the place now where everything is forgiven in Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to reap anymore. Yep. See, all the alphas, all my alphas are sowing. Oh, it's all gone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's all gone. Is that a fact under the third and fourth generation? Figure it out. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, William Branham. Huh? Number four, taking us to number eight because there's only seven. There's a number eight again right there. A number one, but it's also four. Under the third and fourth generation, the fourth messenger comes destruction. And he preached it. I indict this generation. The mischief of iniquity. the word bender. He beguiled Eve. Beguile means to lead astray, mentally delude or seduce, deceive greatly, even to utterly. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Seduce wholly. Eve was seduced. Paul said, I'm afraid that as Eve was seduced, deceived, you will be too. That means to deceive wholly. It comes from the word cheat. Revelation 3:14. Wholly, completely deluded. Wholly, completely deceived. But brother, sister, there's a twin. And the twin is the Son of Righteousness, the Son of God, that same Spirit. And he never bent the word for one minute. He never changed any word. Jesus did not bend the word. He fulfilled the word or the law. Search the scriptures and see if I don't fulfill them. And he proved it by manifesting and then and thereby revealing. Or he interprets it by bringing it to pass. Thus Christ and the Word and the manifestation is one. In other words, the vindication of God, of the prophet, and the Word are one. Vindication and Word are one with God. See the perfection of God in three. God, vindicated, prophet, Word. And we accept all, so we are now also vindicated. I and my Father are one. All this is made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ himself said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away till it be fulfilled. And he said, not one will be lost because I'm taking care of them all. Now, if Satan was prepared, what about Jesus? He was not like Satan, a created cherubim, but he was the only begotten Son, formed or born of God. The only prepared part was his body. A body hast thou prepared for me. And in him we are all the generations of Almighty God. And the seed the psalmist speaks of, a seed shall be counted for his generation, because Isaiah said he doesn't have any. But notice Satan. He can't create. He can't bring to birth. But he must find someone or something to take over and fashion it.
The world and the serpent seed, the whole thing, is a fashioned mess. A conglomerate. We have nothing to do with it. We're not a part of it. We are a part of God. We do not bend the word. We do not cheat on the word. We do not delude. We do not steal. We do not stand in anything except awe of God and glorify Him and admire Him. And there's only one way you can do it, and that's by the word, because the word alone gives the revelation of Almighty God. He does not stand here and tell about Himself and talk about Himself. He does not expose Himself, but He gave the vindicated word. And we are that seed, the same seed that Jesus was, because we acquiesced to Him. And He said, I've come and you don't receive me. I came in my Father's name. His name is Jesus. My name is Jesus. I've showed you the works. You don't accept Him, but there's one you will accept. And right today, they're going right more and more to the Pope, writing books about His holiness. Holiness, my foot. Don't ever stand in awe about the person of anybody. They sing, I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, then turn around with no recognition of whom God sends. For He said, whomsoever He send, you receive Him, you receive me, you receive the Father. So that's the way it is this morning. Twins and Alpha and Omega. And don't you forget it. It's all part of the seed of discrepancy that Brother Branham preached. And we could maybe just stay with this one message until the time runs out. Let's rise to be this man. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank You for Your mercy and Your love which You bestowed upon us and given us time again this morning. Although we did not even cover certain portion of Thessalonians we'd like to have covered, and maybe we'll yet cover. And yet we see so much in here of the twins and the Alpha and Omega precept. We see and understand now who and what is where, and we understand the time. Even as Brother Branham said, the Spirit of God comes into the church, the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him, to give the church the understanding of the hour in which it lives and the great, mysterious, and deep secrets of Almighty God. And here we are, Lord, seeing the Alpha and Omega, and seeing the precept, the understanding of the seed, the tares and the wheat, seeing the whole thing at the end time, the seed of discrepancy, but knowing there's not just a seed of discrepancy, as though that could turn to the seed of conformity. But we know there's a seed of conformity, and there were a few people sitting there. And we count ourselves as one of the Lord who sat there, the seed of conformity, knowing to whom Your prophet was preaching, to whom You were speaking, using His voice, and giving us the revelation, not only of Yourself, but also giving the revelation of ourselves and all of us in the present hour, and those things when we stand, to know this is that hour. This is when the Gentile church shall come forth unto victory. The bruised reed will not be broken. The smoking flax will not be quenched. But a mighty healing revival, the miracle working vindication, power of God manifested, proved that Jehovah Elohim is once more amongst His people in a beautiful, wonderful day of grace, taking us over into the promised land, which we know is not Canaan, but we know it is the earth renovated, another Eden set up, wherein there is true worship, and Satan will not be there to delude anybody but the original one who did stand with Satan to lead in the worship of God. That one by whom all things are created, even Jesus, by the power of God. He will be standing there with us. And I believe, Lord, at that time it is actually still the incarnation of Yourself. I can't prove anything, Lord, but I really believe that is the way it is. But anyway, Lord, we know in that worship He will be leading again correctly and properly. And there'll be no delusion, there'll be no deception, there'll be no going astray. There'll be unanimity, there'll be a harmony, there'll be all of one mind, and all that mind of God going on, taking further steps and going on and on. When the saints shall judge the world, past the white throne, into the new Jerusalem after the dissolution of the heavens and earth and the recreation. How wonderful all these things will be, Lord, and how we know that we're apart now under that seventh seal. And Father, may somehow, by Your blessed Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, who is our great compassionate one, open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits as never before to flood us with this living word, this water, this rain that's come down, flood us until there is nothing left. It's all been flooded, completely washed out, as Brother Branham said. Completely washed out, no vestige, no remnant, nothing left.
But standing there is the pure bride of Christ which we have been declared. And now in our minds and our consciousness, we are fully conscious, aware of, and meditate and speak thereon. And we know nothing else but it. Because this is what Paul knew. This is what William Branham knew, especially in these closing hours. And we in our closing hours want to know the same thing, O living God. We do pray the sick amongst them be healed, but that is really peripheral to what we really desire. For our desire, Lord, lies within the soul panting after thee as the heart pants after the water brook. And the satisfaction of coming right forth to finish up life, its challenges therein, to come forth the victor right into the gates. So, Father, we just pray that you help us to that end with the spirit of optimism, which we would call exuberant faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, knowing that he is here with us now, and earnest expectation has turned to complete reality. These are the things that we must have, O God. And so we do not ask to be like Brother Branham, but we only ask, Lord, that we really have every single portion and every drop that is ours, so our souls can be perfectly satisfied with it all. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name.